Access number 17747, rail 51.
You're saying that you went off to Mass in a quad?
Oh, that's right, yes. Big Attack should be coming off tonight.
How much did you know about the Big Attack? Had you got the sort of divisional plan in your mind, or core plan, or was it simply the brigade?
Well, I would have known more had I still been at RHQ, is my, yes, my guess, being way down the lowest level of operation, the troop. We would know relatively little.
So, if you're at battalion headquarters, you'd have got a fairly broad general picture, but if you were a gun position officer, you'd have got narrow view.
You
of
could
things.
Have found out more, I suppose, if you had probed, but not on the telephone or radio. You'd have had, for obvious security reasons, you would have needed to go and visit a friend in RHQ and get the lowdown. As it is, we would have been told, I don't doubt, that we were going to be part of an attack towards the Po Valley, towards the Po River, and that would be that. We would accept that, I think. There wouldn't be a lot more we needed to know about it, except that we would be supporting the guards again, or whatever it was. And I noted that by this time, that evening, the rest of the regiment has moved forward, and we are the only 25-pounders. Our battery are the only 25-pounders on the Camacchio Spit. We're still in our log cabin. So we were the tail-enders at this stage.
Must have been rather difficult to find sufficient room to deploy on a piece of land that narrow.
Indeed, and you're right on to the nub of the matter, because on the 9th of April, it's a cold, dull day, and we fire a lot of rounds to make the Boche think we're more than just one battery.
So you were firing at, what, double or triple normal rates?
Yes, we would be. We'd be firing like blazes instead of the leisurely stuff, which would be indicated by the lack of of ground action. There was obviously no need for us to be firing, except to appear to be more than we were. But it does suggest one thing to which I hadn't realised. I thought that they had gone back far enough to be out of range, but obviously not, because we wouldn't be firing supercharge. Supercharge was about up to 8 miles, and this would be ordinary charge 3, I guess, up to about 5 miles. So 5 or 6 miles. So they can't have still been all that far away. I mean, they had not retreated. They were not in headlong flight. I stay up all night firing the guns and getting ready to move the next morning. And by this the next day, Jack Davidson had gone to our observation post, such as it was, although what high land he could find, I can't imagine. It must have been a church or something like that. And I'm in charge now of the only guns on the spit, as the other troop, C troop, and the battery headquarters have moved. So we had D troop, 4 guns. I had 4 guns on this spit of land, and these were the only guns on the spit. Here that the attack seems to have started well, and moving to a bigger canvas also here, that Vienna is now in the hands of the Russians. Observation posts come in for the night, back to the gun position. Wednesday the 11th of April, move off at 09:30. Long approach march to an area thick with guns supporting the 8th Army drive. Very noisy, dig in.
What sort of ground were you on? Was it still the same flat?
Flat, as flat as could be, yes.
And you mentioned that there was scrub on it, on the spit.
Yes.
What sort of scrub was
it? Well, copses of trees, which from time immemorial have been round the edges of this lake, partly nature rather than planted, although when we were there a year ago, it was fairly well and neatly settled. that people still had woods as a as an amenity, presumably to protect them partly from the high winds which in winter would be coming across the Adriatic straight at them.
What kind of woods were these? Were they, I mean, the straw, was it thorn or was it birch or do you recollect?
I can't remember what sort of trees, but it wasn't a thick forest, it wasn't massive oak trees, it was just fairly thin sort of stuff which would be sufficient to impede any vision. But
yes. So you were screened from...
Screened from the lake, yes. Not from the sea, but from the lake.
You mentioned getting news of the Russian advance and so on.
Yeah.
Of the view that seems to have been fairly general that you needed one more big push to get over the Po.
Mm.
Did you have any idea at the time that this might have been intended to preempt an attempt by the Yugoslavs to move into the Po Valley?
Well, they come along a little later. Yes. I think we were aware of this, but at that time the Tito's partisans had not got to the Italian border. I mean, they were still heavily engaged in guerrilla stuff.
Yes.
In Istria, but they hadn't quite reached the Italian border. This was to come before long, as we shall see.
But I mean, the Russians have been moving up the valley of the Sava and the Drava in northern Serbia.
Had they? I didn't know.
Yes, I mean, the northern third of Yugoslavia, which is rolling plains, had been liberated by the Red Army. And the partisans were operating in the more mountainous and wooded areas.
That's right. Well, we were soon to meet them. We heard that the Americans had crossed the Elbe. There was a premature in the barrel of a gun in 253 battery. They had casualties, and we realized how lucky we had been with our two or three misfires. Heavy firing goes on. And there is tremendous blast noise and cordite fumes all round. It was quite a heavy battle. And I've put, in this case, there really is a fog of war. Hard fighting, but it's going well. Saturday and Sunday, 14th and 15th, I did some reconnaissances myself, and we dug like madmen to finish a command post. Lovely sunshine. In the middle of all this digging, we got a parcel of newspapers and listeners and letters from home. 11 p.m., that would be Saturday the 14th, there's an urgent call for an officer to take dispatches to Corps headquarters from HQRA. And I had to go and do this. I waited at HQRA till 1:30 a.m. and then set out on the hideous jeep run to another place, a great long name which doesn't matter, got frozen and soaking. And this was not through rain, it was through thick fog. Set out back and got back at 10 o'clock in the morning, Sunday the 15th of March, in the middle of a barrage, having had no sleep at all night. And I kipped down and slept till 12:30, and then did my tour of duty on the command post.
What was Corps headquarters like when you found it?
I had no idea at all. I can't remember.
No recollection.
No recollection where it was or anything about it. I mean, we were already beyond the stage of having these magnificent palaces, like the Palace of Caserta, where the general headquarters was. I would guess that Corps headquarters was no more exciting than just a bigger version of our RHQ, you know. You'd find
it
vehicles.
Be a TAC headquarters, that yes, rather than a general one.
Yes. Well, it would be, yes. Whether there would be a general headquarters at this stage, I don't know, because everything was mobile.
Yes.
I mean, they would have had one for 3 months, as we had had this settled period, but by golly, things are moving fast now. I mean, they're quite... I haven't put the distances, and I don't know what they were, but there must have been quite significant distances being covered.
So you were moving?
We were moving.
Day to day.
That's right. battle going well, 16th April, Imola taken by the Poles. And I think Imola is another of these.
Between Faenza and, and Bologna.
It's been between Faenza and Bologna, as you say.
Yes.
It was, they were still moving up Route 9.
Yes.
We were already way up here.
Yes.
But they were captured that. That was moving. The further you went northwest, the more the mountain thing had to be overcome. And our guns are, I've put, without specifying what, our guns are very old in the regiment, and they seem always to be going wrong. So they were pretty near the end of their tether, these guns. At the present, we're living a normal outdoor tented life, which is okay as long as shells don't land here. We were still in action. Stay up till 03:30, firing a long fire plan, presumably a fairly leisurely one, just to keep the Germans' heads down, firing, say, 1 a minute or something like this. Tuesday, the 17th April, Nuremberg reached by the Americans. Russians start their Oder offensive. We move forward in support of the Guards Brigade, still the Guards Brigade, into an area which is shelled and airburst shelled all day. Everyone is a bit nervous, but it is my night off and I sleep well below ground level. This would be not a German dugout, but our own digging with a bivouac over it. In other words, just below the ground level.
What you might call a shell scrape.
I didn't know the name, but that's what it would be.
How deep
yes.
would it be?
Oh, a couple of feet. A
couple of feet.
Yeah, just enough to, so you were sleeping in your coffin, so to speak.
Yes.
With a bit of canvas over your head.
The canvas being, presumably, just to keep the rain out.
That's right, and to keep slightly warmer than the night air might have been otherwise. Indeed, because I'm asleep, I've put Wednesday the 18th and Thursday the 19th. Because of going to sleep in this dugout thing, I'm only half aware of a German aeroplane which comes strafing, very making us feel very nervous, the road around us and the gun positions. But I do hear the bullets whizzing. I mean, he came deliberately at us. He could see us. We were not concealed any longer. It was just an odd, hapless German pilot with a small craft. Slow flying, not a jet, you know, not a very fast plane. I can see him now. I mean, just going overhead like one of these little trainer planes firing down at the gun position.
You hadn't mentioned seeing German air power.
No, previously. We hadn't.
Was this the first time you were attacked from
it was
the air
just,
in Italy?
Well, since the landings, of course. We had these dive bombings at Salerno and Anzio.
Yes.
But I had not been conscious of German aeroplanes until this thing. Presumably we were they were within easy reach of their own airfields, which would be just north of the Po. They're still totally protected by the river, and I suppose these pilots were pretty brave, actually, being a nuisance at slow speed, very liable to be shot down.
Well, did you have any anti-aircraft defence in your
No,
facility?
None at all. No, nothing. I mean, people did let off rifle shots at them and Bren, but it was a waste of time, really. Perpetual smoke, fog of war again, fierce battle in front of us. It really was quite a battle going on. This was the battle, I don't know, it was the Argenta Gap, it could have been. Count 146 prisoners coming through our gun position. Here the Russians attacking towards Berlin. Try to sleep from 11 o'clock at night to 0300. And then suddenly it's dawn. I'm sitting on a camp chair and the battle has suddenly gone quiet. I do a reconnaissance of a forward gun position, our next position, and see some horrid sights on the way. this is German bodies. I remember seeing a young German totally immersed in clear ditch water looking up with his hair blowing. I remember seeing half of a man in top of a tank, bottom half missing altogether. God, it was a strange time. I find a peaceful apple field to put our guns in. Beer ration arrives for the troops.
Beer ration, that's something beer we haven't ration. Mentioned before.
There's three bottles a month for the men. Officers had a bottle of whiskey or gin. The men had three bottles of beer.
Was this English beer sent out, or was it locally produced Italian beer?
I don't think they brought English beer out. I may be wrong, but I don't think so. I think there were enough breweries working in southern Italy, in Naples area, Rome, to provide. Odd things happened. I mean, our troop, were located near some haystacks. One of these damn haystacks got on fire, sent plumes of smoke into the air, black smoke, the most enormous signal to the enemy. And when this had been put out, this was the same self-same spot that today one of our sergeants falls asleep in the warm sun near a hedge and wakes up with a scream, finding a snake coiled round his head. He yelled.
Did he suffer any harm from the
snake? No, none at all. It was quite a harmless grass snake, but the shock of finding a snake round your head. The battle suddenly leaps forward again, and reconnaissances are laid on.
It sounds as though the Germans were actually fighting hard right to the bitter end.
Oh, yes, to the Po. To the Po.
To the Po. In particular, this pilot suddenly appearing overhead and...
Well, I suppose they were in a... That's right. They were in a sticky position, weren't they? Because they had... the Po was behind them. They were on their back foot, and the Po was getting on for half a mile wide of this...
But, I mean, once they were across the Po, then it would have been a good line of defence.
That's right, but they were not.
But they were not.
And no doubt the Air Force, our Air Force, was not helping them to get across the Po. They must have felt pretty hemmed in. Anyway, on the 21st of April, we did a long move forward to a house on some crossroads near Guards Brigade headquarters. And the 5th and 8th armies together take Bologna. Bologna must have been the dividing line between the 5th and the 8th.
Yes.
The battle is all very fluid compared with the static positions we had got used to. And there's a definite spirit of liberation in the air. Heaps of POWs are coming through and our morale is high. 22nd of April, Sunday, I do a reconnaissance far forward, but we're then pulled back to a safer position on a canal bank with delightful glades and lilac trees behind people's houses. And it's here that I hear that three of our soldiers have been selling German horses to the Italians.
Soldiers from your troop? Or
yes, they were. One of them had been one of my batmen. Mm. He sold a horse to a German, to an Italian farmer, and I remember his giving it to giving the farmer a receipt for his endless lire, a receipt signed Joe Soap. Men are playing soccer in the yard, and
Were there any repercussions as a result of that sale of war booty?
There would have been had we reported it, but we didn't. There was a certain irresistible optimism and irresponsibility in the air. I think this was began to be the sort of stage, and this is a general reflection, where differences began to emerge. I don't mean quarrels, I mean differences between us and the small cadre of people who were regulars. they couldn't relax and welcome the ending, plainly the ending of the war, which we couldn't help doing. I mean, it was their job, war, it wasn't ours, only temporarily. We found they took things more seriously. I mean, if there was idleness, because of lack of activity, we'd say, thank God, and we'd relax and read. They would wonder what they ought to be doing. And they tended to be more officious. I'm talking about lieutenants whose future lay in the army.
Were there any regulars in the other ranks who had a similar sort of...
Now, that's a very good question. I've often asked myself that. I don't think there were, you know. I don't think there were any regulars in the ranks at all in our regiment. I can't think that they were. I mean, for a start, it had been a territorial regiment through and through.
But, I mean, the territorial regiments often have...
Sure.
Regular permanent staff sure. instructors sure. and...
Well, I mean, I'm sure you're right, but yes, I think you're right at the sergeant major level. I think our RSM, Gittins, well, plainly he was a regular, but I think all the other sergeant majors had come up through the TA.
Was Gittins very concerned to keep people occupied and to
yes,
keep things going?
But he was a good man, and he had a good sense of humour and a sense of the ridiculous. I think he was quite a remarkable chap. We all owed a lot to him. I'd like to know what happened to him later, because he's a man of extraordinary personality, particularly sense of humour. I mean, he could be stern where it was required, but he could also relax. Yes, I'm sure you're right. He obviously was a regular. But I can't think that there are many more. We had another reconnaissance. We were out of range by this time. Things had moved so quickly. And I found... I walked around to a farm and found a group of Scots Guards officers feeding with an Italian family. I've put probably fascist with servants in attendance. Now out of range, have a good night's rest. 23rd April, Monday, early reconnaissance again, and we moved to a position only 9,000 yards, 5 miles, from the River Po. And we hear that 5 Allied divisions have reached the Po. We had a stroll through the fields in lovely night air, but feel unaccountably depressed, possibly an anticlimax after all recent events. I do a recce, Jack did that recce the next day, Tuesday the 24th, I did a reconnaissance, and at midday we make what is our now usual daily move to the northeast this time, moving forward. This is delightful country, untouched by war. Pick up 2 German prisoners en route. We're the first troops in this hamlet, and they are excited and cook for us and make us comfortable. And I've put, and this is a strange entry which I don't understand, there's a perpetual natural gas fire nearby. I wonder if there was some sort of natural there. I don't know. I just don't know what it means. 25th April, long wait to go into our positions on the River Po, then drive past more wreckage to get there. Take 3 prisoners of war. I go right up to the Po for a possible official loot that we would be taking in officially, like lorries and things, and bring back an enormous German 3-tonner.
Was this, what was the river, what did the river look like when you actually got to
it? It was huge. I mean, it was enormously wide. It was obviously not as wide as the Humber where I'm, which I'm familiar with, but considerably wider than the Thames. I mean, it was a very considerable stretch of water. At a guess, I would say it was 1/2 mile. But
did it seem to be flowing fast?
Yes, it would be at this time. I'm trying to think how far we would be from the the Po Delta. Of course, the Po doesn't flow neatly into the Adriatic. It
divides, diversifies into many distributaries,
like the Nile. Mm.
Was it tidal at the place you reached it? You think?
No, it wouldn't be tidal, I think, at this point. No, not that far up. Mm.
Did you have to be discreet and careful on these recces, or were you able to wander about in the open?
I don't think we were worried in the slightest, because I think that, well, I'm quite clear that our troops were across the river by then, and so we didn't... You see, there were no hills at all. So we didn't feel... Mm. I mean, the only danger would have been from booby traps and mines, that sort of thing, but we didn't hear that these were very widespread at this point, as they had been during the fixed positions, Gothic line and so on. There were no real military worries at all. I mean, it was extraordinary. Feel elated. This chase has been most exhilarating after such a long campaign. Our infantry crossed the Po today almost unopposed. The 76th Panzer Corps commander gives himself up to our division. So it goes on. The next day, take in heaps of German vehicles. Our men selling more German army horses to the Italian farmers all day. They're lovely horses, and in magnificent condition, these creatures. I hope they fared well in the hands of the Italian farmers. They'd just been left, they couldn't be taken across the river.
Turned loose? Or?
Yes, they were loose. That's right, they were grazing. I see them now, just grazing.
How are they marked to identify them?
I don't know. I mean, it was just obvious that these were military horses. I mean, they're quite different from anything the German and the Italian farmers have. And anyway, they had very few, if any.
Sounds as though now you were back in a subunit, you were a lot happier than you had been when you were at the regimental headquarters.
Well, it was... there was a contrast. RHQ was more company. There was more comfort. It was usually better settled. On the other hand, you were always under the eye of CO2 and the CO and the Colonel, and there was less opportunity to relax, to matter with a power or two. It was not possible in RHQ unless you got away from the mess and went for a walk at the gun level. You were with more men on the ranks, there were just two of you officers who were in charge of something. RHQ, you were not in charge of anything.
Did you find that once you got away from RHQ, your relations with the commanding officer improved?
They did, in fact, in a curious way, which comes in a week or two's time, in a curious way, when he promoted me and put me in charge of regimental education, because he knew me. April 27th and 28th, Friday and Saturday, were really sort of momentous days. It was the first time, and the only time in my life, I hope, when I saw such a gruesome thing as an exhumation. I woke up, and we were waiting for specific orders as opposed to chaotic ones for our move across the Po. And during the morning, I was interested, looking out of the window of the room I'd been sleeping in, to see an Italian bring a cart along, a farm cart, and a spade, and then I saw three little crosses, wooden crosses, in the farmyard, and he started digging with his friend, and they dug up three Germans. I shall never forget it, because it isn't the sort of thing you do forget. I mean, he gradually uncovered a body and lifted the head up by the hair and brushed the earth.
and with suitable reverence, I don't mean brutally, these two chaps lifted the German body up by the shoulders and feet and put him onto the cart, and they did the same with the other two. And there were three German bodies lying on this cart to go off to the cemetery to get, presumably his interest, understanding was to get them out of his farmyard. But as I put it, the farmer, with some help, digs up the body of four Germans,